accountability partners. And I so appreciate Jens and I so value him for the input that he has in Reyna's life. I know it's such a privilege if you know your husband has a friend who really loves God the same way. And I know that, you know, it's a bit of a drive, but they make like an effort to meet up and share about their lives. And I so appreciate the input that he has in Reyna's life. So I want to honor Jens this morning and Shalene as well. And in the meantime, we've become accountability partners as well. So Jens and Shalene really mean a lot to us. And it's awesome to have that, you know, especially as a married couple, to also have another married couple and that you can be open with, who loves the Lord, that you can ask advice for, who can pray for you. So it's a privilege to me to be here this morning and for us as well. And you guys are our sister church, and we're excited to come and join with you this morning and to spend some time with you. So let's just pray. Father, we just thank you this morning. I'm just so excited, Lord. We just have such a sense of your newness, Father, of life, and just your glory and your mercies that are new every morning, Lord. Such a golden morning. Just with the weather, Lord, and just driving along the beach on the way here, Lord. And we glorify you this morning, God. We thank you for just the newness of life in each of our hearts this morning. We're expecting just the newness, Father. And we thank you for that which you come to do, Lord. Bless this morning, Father. Bless every person, God. We pray, Lord, that your words would be heard this morning. Father, we're excited to eat from your word this morning. Thank you for that which you want to share, Lord. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to, as introduction, want to share something that I shared in our church a while ago. Not as a sermon, just something that God put on my heart. And just kind of about the bigger picture, I was thinking, I was just praying, it's about 2-3 weeks ago, I was praying through the week, and it's as if God just kind of puts things together for me. And, you know, all of us here, most of us, all of us know God, we love God. God has a purpose in our lives, we all have a relationship with Him, walking this road. And but more than the fact that we are individuals, we are also a church, and we are a body. And you know, God's plan for the world is really His body. God loves every person, and He died for every person. But God, when He speaks in the Word, He always speaks about the body. He says He is Jesus is the head of the body, which fills all in all. So His plan for the world is His body. He says He sends us to disciple nations, and that we cannot do one by one. We have to get together to do that, to actually disciple nations. And when He says He's coming back, He says He's coming back for the bride of Christ. Yes, that involves us as individuals, but He always speaks about the bride. And today in the world, sometimes that's not always the way we think. The world is so individualistic. In the world, it's always about you, your fulfillment, your purpose, your thing. But for Jesus, it's about His body. And I've been thinking the last few years actually about that, how to see it the way God sees. He says we should renew our minds to see like He sees. And just for you guys as well, we part of a body, Shofar, Ronnebosch, you guys are part of a body, Shofar, Tableview. But we're all also together part of a bigger body, Shofar, the global Shofar. And the global Shofar is part of a bigger body, which is the bride of Christ everywhere. And all churches who love God, follow God, all His bodies. So there's such a big picture. And there's such, you know, a little picture that gets bigger and bigger. And just on the level of the global Shofar, it's just such a significant year this year. The number 12 actually biblically means completion, and it means government. Like, so a perfect rule is what it says. 12 really means like 12 apostles, the 12 bulls in heaven. There's a lot of 12s in the Bible. And this is 12, they say, is really like a year of things coming together. And especially in the global Shofar body as well, this is really prophetically a year of things coming together. And if you look at the stuff that Fred's been preaching as well, Fred May is the main pastor of Shofar all over, located in Stellenbosch, and he's been comparing the journey of Shofar to the Israelites and the way that they're crossing over the Jordan, going into the Promised Land. And there's been a lot of success in all the Shofar churches. We've all, you know, God is moving and things are happening. But I believe that this is the year where it almost switches over to a whole new level. And kind of the stuff that Fred has been saying as well, where we really, it's really a year of breakthrough. And just a few significant things that have been happening. We had the Global Fast a while back. I'm not sure if you guys were part of that. And okay, lots of heads nodding. Then we had prayer last week at Rhodes. I don't know if some of you guys, yes, okay, lots of heads nodding. especially our church, we felt very privileged because, I mean, the Rhodes is in the area where we are. So we felt like, wow, the whole global Shofar group sprang for something that's in our area. We felt so loved. But we actually went up to Rhodes and prayed. Then I can tell you guys that what happened there is incredibly significant. I personally feel what happened up at Rhodes is the most spiritually significant thing I've ever been part of. you could just sense something really big happening in the spirit there as we're proclaiming over Africa. And of course, the other team were at Cairo. It's just the significance of that and the way that God confirmed what He's supposed to do there. And then the Shofar Band tour is going on. I don't know when the Shofar Band is here. Have they been? Are they coming? Oh, you were with us. Okay. But just the Shofar Band tour as well. It's kind of, on the one hand, we're doing this warfare in the spirit. On the other hand, we're having a party as the band goes and we're celebrating with God. And then I think the conference is going to be a very, very integral part of that. And I want to agree with Melissa and really urge everyone to go. It's going to be such an important spiritual breakthrough and what God is going to do in our hearts there. And I believe all these things that God is doing this year is really going to put us into a new place. And as I was praying this week, there was just something specific that God put on my heart for this congregation, and that's what I want to share this morning. Just need to log in. There's all these amazing things that God's doing. But somehow from my own life, even in the last few months, I've just experienced so much discouragement. I said to Raina, my husband at the time, it feels like God is doing all these amazing things, and there's this promise, and really where we're at in terms of the global shift of vision is also it's like now we're going into the promised land. We've made this whole progression and all these things God has done in all our lives and in the lives of the whole group. And really now is the time of breakthrough. Really now is the time of crossing the river. And it's really, God is doing stuff and God is moving. But it's just happened to me so many times this year that it feels like all I see is what's not happening. I wrote down, kind of tried to get like thoughts, things like I would feel my life's not changing. I would feel I'm not growing. This thing that I'm struggling with, I'm not getting through it. The devil kind of says, okay, but what about this thing in your life? It's like a lot of things are happening, but it's like I see the one thing that's not happening. Or I see the one area, the devil would like remind me, like, this person you're praying for, they're like really not changing. Or this person at your work that you're trusting for to get saved, you know, that's like really not happening. Never mind the three others that are. it's just, I've had this cycle the whole year where I would just get really down and discouraged, and I feel like, no, it's actually really not going well. And when I sit and I think logically, I'm like, no, it is going well. My mind, it's not really my mind, it's really the devil playing tricks on me. And my poor husband, I've had this discussion probably 5 times with him. Like, oh, that thing again, going through the same thing. But I've also spoken to so many other people who experienced the same thing. And it's kind of what I'm going to share about this morning quickly, just I'm going to try and share just shortly this morning because I know there's another church coming to this venue and we really want to pray for you this morning. We all prayed in the week for your congregation, for you guys. So I do want to leave a little bit of time at the end so that we can pray for you and give some specific opportunities, but also want to encourage you any prayer that you need. Please give us the opportunity to pray for you this morning afterwards. But so there's this continual cycle of discouragement. And as I was preparing this word, I'll explain now about the discouragement, but I was praying for this service and for Shofar Table View, and the specific word God gave me was, He said, we're cutting our teeth. And the words came, and I didn't actually know what that meant, and I'm reading a lot of baby books because I'm pregnant, and it's my first baby, so it's all new. And I thought, when God said, they're cutting your teeth, I thought, surely that has something to do with the baby getting teeth. So I'm like looking up everything, but it turns out that's not, nothing to do with that at all. So it's a saying, which probably all of you know and I didn't know, but cutting your teeth, if you look at that slide there, the different definitions of it, starting somewhere, gaining first significant experience, may not be satisfying, may be painful, but prepares you for more challenging duties. So this was just some of the dictionary definitions. It said, cutting your teeth is when you do something that you haven't done before, and maybe it's not the best experience, and maybe you struggle a bit, or maybe it's difficult, but you're gaining experience, and you're learning for something which is to come. And I felt it's like God is saying to me, the difficult things, maybe even in this year and in the recent seasons, that we've all been experiencing, or the challenges, we're cutting our teeth. It's like He's saying, maybe it's painful, maybe it's not the most satisfying experience, But he's preparing us, and there's something greater, and he's equipping us, and it's very specific. Every area that we're doing this, and there's something very specific that he's doing in us. And in terms of the discouragement, what I felt was that as we're going into the promised land, I really, last week when we prayed for roads, not for roads, about roads, he's unfortunately already died, too late for him. But when we were praying about it, I work 3 days a week as an engineer, and the other 2 days I help at the church and I volunteer and do different kinds of things. So every week I try and see, I don't work a specific 3 days, I work it as that week works out. So I felt last week, even the week before, I felt God say I must take off the Wednesday. So last week I had the Wednesday off, and I thought, you know, I have a long list of stuff to pray through. I want to pray for the baby, and I want to pray for this and that, and I have this whole long list. And I woke up the morning, and I started praying for the baby, and the Holy Spirit said to me, it's not what I want you to pray for. And I was slightly offended. Why can I not pray for my baby? And I just felt God saying, ask me what I want you to pray for. And I asked him, he said, I want you to pray for Africa. I want you to pray about the roads thing today. And I was kind of thinking, yeah, I was going to get to that. And I just ended up praying about that the whole day. And I really realized, wow, this what God is doing here is actually really much more important than what I thought. And he feels much more urgent about it than what I actually knew. And I prayed the whole day. And what I sensed was, I actually had a sense of how the enemy's really not happy about what we're doing, and how it's like I could feel him shuddering. I could feel the demonic realm being just very unhappy about what we're doing. We're really making progress, and even after the fast, you could see, sure, the enemy's not happy, but God is victorious, and nothing will be able to stop what he's doing. His will be done. And that's why the enemy's scared, because he knows that there's actually nothing he can do. So what he tries to do, and this is kind of what I realized as I was praying for today as well, what he tries to do is he just takes our eyes off from that which God is doing. So this is actually the cycle that I've been experiencing the whole year. It's where the enemy, God, we're really in a time of breakthrough, but the enemy cannot stop it, but it can keep us from seeing it. So he keeps on pulling our eyes to something negative. Every single thing that he could possibly find, he brings to mind. Everything is not going well. Every person that's not doing well. And of course, one day in heaven, everything will be going well. On this earth, of course, there will always be challenges. But at the moment, we're really in a time of victory, and it's really a time of breakthrough. But the enemy wants to keep us from seeing it. And this is what I believe is happening with this discouragement. This is why he's bringing it, because he's saying, I cannot stop the victory. The best I can do is try and keep you from seeing it. And that's what we want to trust for this morning as well. We want to trust that we put our eyes on Jesus, keep our eyes on things above. And I'm not saying it's easy. It definitely hasn't been easy for me. And sometimes I would even know, now this is silly, but I struggle to get out of this way of thinking. So the picture that God gave me was, the word he said was cutting teeth. And then the picture he gave me was of teeth. So I knew God wanted to give me a very specific word for the church here. And I said to my husband, I thought teeth, like biting. I said to him, is there a scripture that says we bite the enemy? And he said no. He thought that was a very weird question. So then I asked God, what is the scripture that you want to give me? What is the specific picture? And God gave me the scripture in Isaiah. You can have the next slide. Isaiah 41, verse 15 to 16. It says, see, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them, the wind will pick them up and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. And I felt specifically for this morning and for this church, God is making you into a threshing sledge. And I'm a city girl. I don't know what a threshing sledge is if I don't look it up, so I looked it up. I remember on our first outreach where I met Rainer, I saw mangoes on a tree for the first time. And I was so surprised. I said to him, I never knew mangoes came from a tree. And he said to me, where did you think they came from? I said, I've just always seen them in boxes. I never thought of where they came from. He thought he grew up in a farm, so he thought that was ridiculous. But so I looked up a threshing sledge, and it's a piece of a piece of wood, kind of like this big. Like a flat thing, like a lot of planks, and then the whole side is full of nails or sharp pieces of glass or porcelain or whatever, but like full, full, full. And then they put the bales of straw and hay in a circle like this, and the threshing sledge has a rope to it, and the guy takes it and he pulls it like this, and it goes over the hay and the straw, and then it separates the straw, the chaff, which is not worth anything, from the grain. And then he keeps on doing that a few times, and then eventually when it's mostly separated, they get an animal to actually pull the thing to do the last little bit, and then at the end, obviously, they separate the chaff from the actual, which you can use for food. So it's like the Afrikaans saying, it says, you skei die kaf van die koring. So now I also understand that saying. But so that's the threshing sledge, and of course this speaks about, the one thing it speaks about is intercession, and when we intercede, that's what we do. We come in the spiritual realm, and we work through something. We take something which is a mountain. It says you will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. And where we live, we have a lot of mountains in Cape Town, spiritually speaking, a lot of things that are not of God. I'm sure here as well, you guys have your own specific challenges and things in this area which are opposed to the will of God. And those are your mountains to thresh. And I believe God is already using this church and also making this church into a threshing sledge, a new and sharp one with many teeth. And it's giving a promise that you'll be able to thresh the mountains and make them like chaff. And then the wind will blow away the chaff, the sin in people's lives, the struggles, things that are against the will of God. That when those things are separated through prayer and through your interaction with people, those things are going to blow away. And I felt in my prayers, well, I believe for many of you that has already happened, and you've already experienced that in your own life, that separation of things and God bringing the wind and blowing away that which is not of Him. I also saw a vision of the church as a cocoon, and I had a sense that there's really a supernatural ability here for emotional healing, and I had a sense that maybe some of you experienced it as well. As you came in, I saw a picture of you letting people in, and as people come in, they experience emotional healing, but really fast. And not that I need years of counseling or psychology or anything like that, but just the power of God in this church. And I sense that it's already happened. It's already happening here. And something specific that God gives you, that ability to let people in and for them to really be healed fast. So if you look at just the story that that Fred's also been telling, and I mean this story of the Bible, basically, if you look at how things progress in the Old Testament, Genesis, there's a creation, Abram is called, there's the promise of the promised land, and eventually the Israelites, and then they're enslaved in Egypt. In Exodus, they're moving out of the desert, they're moving out of Egypt into the desert. They're walking in the desert in circles for 38 years because of disobedience. Leviticus explains how you should live, Numbers also, and there's the genealogies. Go to the next slide. Deuteronomy, Moses prepares the people to enter the promised land, so because Moses couldn't go in, and that's just before they go in. Says to them how to prepare their hearts, what to do. In Joshua, they go over and they enter in. And in the Judges, they're in the promised land. And then it speaks about how they're living there and what's happening. And then there are just two specific things that I wanted to share from this whole progression story. And as Shofar, as a group, God has been speaking. He's been using this analogy. We've been in the desert. We've been going around in circles. We've gotten to the Jordan. Fred preached specifically about just when they got to the Jordan, everyone had to be circumcised again, circumcising our hearts, preparing for that which God is going to do, crossing over the river, and we're really in a time now where we're in the promised land, and we're taking the promised land. And just that first scripture there, in Deuteronomy 7, it's 22-23, so in Deuteronomy, this is where Moses prepares them to enter the promised land. They haven't entered yet. The whole Deuteronomy explains to them, he says, be brave. He says, when you're in the promised land, don't fall into idolatry. He explains all kinds of things to them, and he says, when you are there, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, throwing them into great confusion until they are destroyed. So God says, even when you're in the promised land, you're not going to walk over the river and then, you know, I send like fire from heaven and everyone dies and it's just boom, open land. He says, I will drive the nations from before you little by little. And he says, because if I don't do that, wherever you haven't occupied the land, if I just destroy all the people, the wild beasts will actually increase and they will actually be too much for you. So God is saying, this is my wisdom, that it's not going to be best for me to just destroy everything that's not of me in a second, and you just go live there. It's going to be best to drive them out little by little. So Moses is saying to the Israelites, prepare your hearts for this. Prepare your hearts that when you're in the promised land, it's not suddenly going to be heaven. You're not in heaven yet. I'm driving out the nations little by little. And the encouragement that I felt God giving to all of us is that even though, you know, that we must not let the enemy keep us from seeing that we are in the promised land and that there is breakthrough and that things are going well. But even when we're there, we must also expect that the things which are not of God are not just all going to disappear. God will drive them out little by little, but he does say that he will. And he says, the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, throwing them into great confusion until they are destroyed. You know, for us in Cape Town, a lot of things in these areas, the greater Cape Town, that are not of God. I mean, we can walk around and see, you know, and where we live, there's a Mavericks, and we've had a lot of try to get their posters taken down of naked women on the streets and all those kind of things. They had a campaign where they said, a woman in underwear says, I was working late, obviously promoting infidelity. And we've been taking that on. So, you know, that's one of our mountains. That's one of our nations that we trust in God to drive out. And I'm sure you guys will have your things in Tableview that you're fighting, and that's against the kingdom of God that you're taking on. But the promise is God is saying, I'm not gonna destroy all of them all at once, but I will drive them out little by little. As you pray, as you seek my face, as you interact with people, as you reach out to people, but the Lord your God will deliver them over to you until they are destroyed. And then just the next scripture, in Judges 3, now they're already in the promised land and they're living there. So now they've already overcome a lot of the nations, but there's still some nations left. And we see what God says about that. These are the nations that the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to Labo Hamath. They were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given to their ancestors through Moses. So saying that even when we're in the promised land and we have conquered the land, the Lord said to the Israelites, he left a few nations, actually, because some of the people, I mean, a whole generation died out in the desert, and they were the people who were trained in war. So the Israelites who came into the promised land didn't have any war experience. So God knew this is not heaven yet. He knew that at some stages they will need war experience. So he said, I'm actually leaving some nations for you. I'm not driving them out, because this is where you're cutting your teeth. This is where you're going to fight them. And as you overcome, this is your war experience that you're going to need to go forward. And I believe that's also something God is saying to us. There's some things that he gives us to fight, and feel God is encouraging me and encouraging us not to be discouraged about that, but to know that he has left it there. And he wants us to take it on, but he's the one who's in the end going to help us to overcome. And the key that I believe is in the next scripture in Matthew 5. If you look at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When I was praying for the sermon, the one phrase God gave me was cutting our teeth, and the other phrase he gave me was the poor in spirit. And I've struggled with the scripture sometimes. This is blessed are the poor in spirit. So you're thinking, how is this good to be poor in spirit? I thought we should be rich in spirit. But what it means is, it means that we realize our own inadequacy. We realize that we cannot do it. We are poor in spirit. It's not about trying to be or not to be. We are, and it's realizing it. And that, I believe, is a key for us. When we see that we are poor in spirit, then we can trust in God. And because then we put our self-reliance away. We say, okay, these are the mountains. These are the nations that are not driven out. These are the things in our area, in our lives, in our friends' lives, in our colleagues' lives, in our own lives. These are the things we're struggling with. These are the things we haven't overcome. But we realize that we are unable. And I always, of Christian life, I probably love that the most. Always found that so relieving. Whenever you realize something about your own life that you really cannot change, you can actually tell God, I cannot change it. Please help me. And that is enough. When you see something in your area that you cannot change, you can actually tell God, come to intercession and say, Lord, we cannot change it, but God, we're relying on you. We're asking you, Lord. And I find that the most amazing thing about Christian life. I sometimes wonder, people who don't know God, who don't have that, it must be so stressful because that you really cannot do it yourself. If you don't have God, then you really are helpless. But we have God, and I believe this is the key for us for that. And what I specifically want to pray, and I'm going to finish in the next few minutes, just on that next slide. We specifically want to pray for people this morning walking in circles. And I felt that, as God said, this church has an anointing for emotional healing and for healing of brokenhearted and healing of whatever struggle or sin or issue or whatever there is. And the picture I saw was that some of us have even been walking in circles in the desert. It's just this one thing that you just can't get beyond. And I believe even this morning, there's God wants to come and just break that thing. I believe everyone in this church is called to be a leader and to bring that healing to others. And I often say we have so many things in our minds. We think, but I can't, and I'm not equipped, and I'm not this, and I'm not healed myself, and I'm not that. But God is not looking for ability. He's just looking for availability. He just wants us to be there. And I believe this morning for some of us, God wants to come and break us out of that circle, that walking around and around, even in our own lives. He wants to come and bless us this morning with that freedom so that we can also impart it to others. To share from my own experience, my circle that I walked when I was in high school, which is longer ago than it looks. I still get people sometimes asking me which grade I am. When I was in high school, I had anorexia, and when I got to about 16, I got bulimia, and I was really stuck in a circle, and eventually I hid it from my parents. They never knew. Well, they know now, but they didn't know. And I went to varsity, and I decided I was a nominal Christian, not really committed. But if you ask me, I would say I was a Christian at that stage. And I decided, I have to leave this thing. And when I went to rest, I said, this is it. I'm drawing a line. I'm not throwing up my food anymore. And I stopped physically, but nothing in my mind changed. So for the first 3 years in varsity, I just picked up a whole lot of weight because I didn't change the way I was eating. I just stopped throwing up my food. So I'm healed on the outside, but nothing is better on the inside. And I came to salvation in my second year at varsity and really met God. And I really knew He wanted to change this. I really knew He wanted to deliver me from this. But I thought, I'm going to get to a point in my life where I'm going to manage it, but I'll probably never be free. Like, I'm going to get to a point where my mind is okay. I don't think about food all the time, and I eat okay, and it's going to be okay. But I will probably always have to fight it. I'll probably always have to watch out for temptation. I will probably always have to take it on, And it was about 2 or 3 years that I really had to pray about this thing and stop myself and struggle. And I was facilitating Liberty, Foundation 4, and the form said, the training said, you can't facilitate someone with something that you're still struggling with, which is, by the way, not true. We realized since. But then I was like, oh, and then I got the form of the person I need to pray for and eating disorders. And I'm like, oh, no. And the Friday night of Liberty, when I was facilitating, I got delivered from eating disorders. And there was a massive breakthrough for me. And then from there, there was a process of healing to a point where I can say for the last 4 or 5 years, I have been completely healed to the point that I sometimes forget that I had it. I never think about food. I never look at food. I never overeat. I never undereat. If I want to have a chocolate, I have a chocolate. If I don't want to have a chocolate, I don't have a chocolate. I don't eat emotionally. And, for something like that, there is really complete healing. And for me, that was my thing. But for each one of us this morning, whatever our issue is, whatever our thing is, there's that complete healing where there's real freedom, where you actually don't even think about it at all anymore. And I believe that's also what God wants to do this morning. So I want to read this scripture prophetically for the church and for Table View. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. You will look and be radiant, and your heart will throb and swell with joy. And I want to encourage you this morning, as part of the Shofar group, you're part of all of us, going over the river, going into the promised land. This is a good season. This is going to be a season of breakthrough. Things are going to change, and we can trust God to put our eyes on that. Let me pray for us. We thank you for the season, Father. We bless Shepherd Table View as well with the season that we're all in, Lord. We bless them, Father. We speak over them to rise and shine, for their light has come. We speak over this town in Table View, Father, for the mountains to be reduced to chaff, God, by this threshing sledge, God. We call forth this church this morning as a threshing sledge, God. We thank you for so many people in this church who've really labored, Lord, who've really prayed, God, and who've really served others and who've really taken time to reach out to others, Lord. And we thank you for a reward for them this morning, Father. You say that God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows in the Spirit will reap in the Spirit, Father. And we thank you, Father, even for reaping for so many people this morning, Lord. We just speak rest for weary souls this morning. Thank you for your water, Lord. Even as in the worship, even at a word, God, just like a desert. And someone's specific life this morning where there's just such a desert that you're bringing water, Lord. And we speak water over that person this morning. Speak rivers of water, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for each person walking in the desert, Lord. And with just one specific area of their life where it's going in circles. We trust for a breakthrough this morning. We thank you that you're here, Holy Spirit, to heal this morning and to just bring that thing to a new level, to really break the hold of things on lives this morning. And thank you for each person here this morning. Thank you for each member of Shofar Table View, Father. We bless them this morning. We thank you, Father, that you call them as leaders in your kingdom, that they are all called, that they are all equipped, Father. Cancel every lie that says they are not equipped, that they are not able. But thank you that you've called them as light bearers in this town, Lord, with the people around them, Father. And we thank you for a new activation this morning and a new strengthening, Father. And encouragement, Lord. We just silence discouragement now, just the lies of the enemies. We silence it now in Jesus' name. And we thank you this morning, Father, for encouragement. We thank you for every eye to see not what you are not doing, but to see what you are doing, Lord, to look at what you are doing, Father. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. I want to ask, we do have a little bit of time left. If the people who came with me, if you can quickly come to the front. We really want to pray for you guys, and if we can, we actually want to pray for everyone. So I want to ask you guys to please come to one of them. Let us pray for you. Let us bless you. Tell them if there's any specific need. Otherwise, we'd just like to pray over you in general. Thank you so much.